Hosea chapter 9, and we'll read through the end of chapter 10. Hosea 9, starting in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. Let's give our attention to them. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with exultation like the nations, for you have played the harlot, forsaking your God. You have loved harlot's earrings on every threshing floor. Threshing floor and winepress will not feed them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land, but Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they will eat unclean food. They will not pour out drink offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not please Him. Their bread will be like mourner's bread. All who eat of it will be defiled, for their bread will be for themselves alone. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they will go because of destruction. Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them. Weeds will take over their treasures of silver. Thorns will be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented because of the grossness of your iniquity and because of your hostility is so great. Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet. Yet the snare of a bird catcher is in all his ways. And there is only hostility in the house of his God. They have gone deep in depravity as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame. And they became as detestable as that which they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them until a man is left. Until not a man is left. Yes, woe to them indeed when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is planted in a pleasant meadow like Tyre, but Ephraim will bring out his children for slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit, even though they bear children. I will slay the precious ones of their womb. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to Him. And they will be wanderers among the nations. Israel is a luxuriant vine. He produces fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he made, the rich his land, the better he made the sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. Surely now they will say, we have no king, for we do not revere the Lord. As for the king, what can he do for us? They speak mere words. With worthless oaths they make covenants, and judgment sprouts like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria will fear for the calf of Beth-Aven. Indeed, its people will mourn for it, and its idolatrous priests will cry out over it, over its glory, since it has departed from it. The thing itself will be carried to Assyria as tribute to King Jareb. Ephraim will be seized with shame, and Israel will be ashamed of its own counsel. Samaria will be cut off with her king, like a stick on the surface of the water. Also the high places of Aven, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorn and thistle will grow on their altars. Then they will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. From the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel. There they stand. Will not the battle against the sons of iniquity overtake them in Gibeah? When it is my desire, I will chastise them, and the peoples will be gathered against them when they are bound for their double guilt. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. But I will come over her fair neck with a yoke. I will harness Ephraim. Judah will plow. Jacob will harrow for himself. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your way and your numerous warriors. Therefore, a tumult will arise among your people, and all your fortresses will be destroyed, as Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed in pieces with their children. Thus it will be done to you at Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel will be cut off, completely cut off. And that is God's holy word. Well, here we see that this judgment continues. The further judgments are brought about upon this idolatrous and adulterous people of Israel. Yahweh threatens here to deprive the people of all their worldly employments. Because their willful continuing in sin, by it they had forfeited those enjoyments so that there could be no more comfort either in receiving those things or in being able to offer them back to God. They're continuing in sin, what they are warned. They're warned, and if you look at chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, they're warned of essentially the same thing as excommunication. You won't be able to worship anymore, he says. Not me. I'm taking it away to show you how far you've gone and turning from me. You will have nothing to do with me. That is, with me, Yahweh. And thus he gives them over, like Romans 1, to their own sin and utter ruin and shame. And then the judgment won't come upon them, or just them. If they continue, he promises it will come upon their children and their children's children, and he will root out their posterity. And then chapter 10, Israel is charged over and over with their gross corruptions from their own worship, such that their images and their altars the Lord would destroy. There also were these corruptions in the civil government, and because of this, the nation would come to ruin and be destroyed. And again, they're charged with following after their father's sins and how they felt comfortable in their own sins. But we see a glimpse of Yahweh's mercy still to them. You see it in verse 12. That if they would just return and repent. He invites them to repent, turn back. If they do not, though, he is going to bring complete destruction. So let us see how many more of the mercies the Lord has shown to us, that we know that we have received and continue receiving even today, and let's not use them to continue in sin, that grace may abound. As Paul says, may it never be, but turn to Christ away from our sins and honor Him with our very lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You in Christ Your Son, that You are a God who rains down Your righteousness upon us. You rain down Your grace upon us and shower us like with an ocean of grace upon us. Father, we pray that You would forgive us of our sins. Father, we know that the church, generally speaking, is not always faithful, and many of the churches that proclaim to hold up Christianity and Your Son don't often even speak of Your Son. And when they do, they speak only in part of Your Son, that God is love. And there are still others who focus only on God who is holy. And Father, we pray that we would be, and the church would be worldwide, the church would be a church that would proclaim Your word in full and proclaim who You are in full. How You describe Yourself as holy and righteous and just and good and wise and truth. A God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and all that You are. And that You're not just a man, or not just like a phantom, or like a man. But You are the God-man in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, who we praise this day. Because He has granted us, by Your showering Your grace upon us, He has granted us salvation in Him alone. By faith You have saved us by grace, that we would not boast in ourselves, but that we would boast alone in You. That You would be given all glory, because we don't deserve, as we heard this morning, we don't deserve to be chosen, we don't deserve to be part of Your people, We are like Aaron and like his sons who constantly go after the things of this world and worship with great fault. We ask that you would help us and cleanse us of our sin. May we be like David in Psalm 51 and see our sin and immediately turn in great repentance and turning unto you. Let us not be like the Israel that we see here in the book of Hosea, who turned from you, who were exiled, who were destroyed, who had no ability to worship any longer. You cut them off. And rather they continued worshiping the Baals and the false gods, and continued to play the harlot, the prostitute, before you. Rather, Father, we pray that we would be godly in Christ Jesus, and you would make that so as you work in us by your Spirit. We pray for our, as we see in this passage as well, about the princes and the kings who are corrupt. We pray that you would be with those who rule over us and our governing authorities, every institution, that we would be submissive unto them, and yet that you would save them. You would cause them to rule according to your word. You would cause them to make covenant with you, to turn from these wicked ways and promise to be faithful to your law. We pray that you would help us in that, and you would give us peace and the ability to freely worship you in accordance with your word, and you would turn us from our sin. Father, may you use them to root out evil in our world. We pray for their souls that they would do so. Sin and corruption and wickedness would be curbed through the civil magistrate, as we've heard in the book of Exodus, is their design. Father, we ask that you would be with us, your church, that you would grow us and sanctify us, that you would build us up by your word, and as we sing in a moment, that you would cause us to admonish one another with the word as we sing to one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.